Well, we love you, Pastor. We'll have equal time after church. No, we'll have a good time after church and during church and before church. It's good when you can be with people. We don't know anything other than to be just who we are. And God help you all. His grace is sufficient, but we feel like we have a church family here, and we've been coming ever since we've been traveling, which is now 7 years, pastor 26 years. So our new assignment basically is encouraging pastors, pastor's wife, promoting the local church and pointing people to the local church, because after all, that is what he is building, is his church. Amen. And, you know, I know we do live in treacherous times, and we don't dwell there, but it is a fact. That's what's happening in our day. But, you know, I truly believe, I share them with a brother out there at the product table, I do believe before the rapture takes place, there's going to be a mass return to the local church. There is. I have that hope, because that's what he's building, and the church has always come through. It's come through every attack, and it will come through this one as well. Amen. So the church of the Lord Jesus is getting stronger. How many is glad you're part of the church? Amen. Amen. So I have great hope in the future of the church. We have a product table back there, and I know Rick Renner is coming in a couple weeks. We carry his book, Sparkling Gems. If you're not able to get it today, get it next week when he's here. One of the most tremendous tools that we have in our library. In fact, I think my husband's teaching some from his notes. And here today, we glean a lot in devotion from Brother Rick, and just makes the Word of God so clear. And as brilliant as that man is, what I appreciate, he makes the Greek language look so simple, and it doesn't look Greek to you. I like that. And so I really appreciate all the people in the body of Christ who have penned good books, good teachings for us to measure them by the Word of God. How many knows the Word of God is our standard where we measure everything by? And thank God we have a standard, because, you know, we live in a world where we have so many people out there, they were not raised with any standard whatsoever. And so they're just out there lost and wandering around, and they don't know what to measure life by. But aren't you glad here in this church that you have been taught the standard of the Word of God, and you can measure life by the Word of God? And to me, that's safety. That is security. And the local church is a place of safety. It's a place of accountability. And I know when we pastored the 26 years, oftentimes you'd have people come and visit, and sometimes they just, like, you could just sense they wanted to make a rush to the stage and be up front. And I thought, there's no glamour up here, folks. It's all responsibility and accountability. And so, but God graces some of us to stand in this place. And we don't take that lightly. We don't take it lightly when pastors believe in our ministry and allow us to take this time to minister to the precious sheep. It's an awesome responsibility. And so you are blessed to have good pastors. You're blessed to have the good Word of God in your life and have that covering over you. You are blessed indeed. And so we just thank you for this opportunity to be with you again. Thank you for believing us. They've always believed in us. And we'll always love them for that. Amen. Kind of like God, always believes in us. We have VeggieTales back there. I tell people if I put a VeggieTale in for my husband, he will behave all afternoon. You think I'm kidding, don't you? He's a fun guy. He likes to have a good time. And so he loves VeggieTales. And when we were pastoring, he dressed up as Larry the Tomato. And Bob the Tomato, and Larry the Cucumber, you know, was his sidekick there. And so kids love that. And God loves the heart of a child. Amen. So I never want to lose that. So we have those back there that will be a blessing to you. We also have an audiobook here by two doctors, Les and Leslie Perot, and actually our former governor in Oklahoma, the Bible Belt, which is where we're from, brought them in to do a marriage enrichment for the entire state. And I thought, wow, God bless the governor. Amen. That is interested in building strong marriages and keeping strong marriages together today. I just started carrying this one here. She still calls me Daddy. And I purchased this book for my husband right before our daughter got married, which was, I know, a very difficult thing for him to walk her down the aisle, but we knew she was marrying a good man of God. And so that, you know, that helped. And so he was sitting in the recliner one day, and I just saw tears rolling down his face. And I thought, yes, I got the right book. just because you want something that's going to touch people's heart and help them in their journey. And what this book is talking about, you know, when you're raising your children, you know, your dad and mom will always be dad and mom. But after your little girl gets married, in this case in the book, we take on a different role. Daddy takes on a different role now. She will always be his little girl. She will always be his little girl, right? But now there's another man in her life. And so how does he continue to be daddy and yet promote the marriage and let the husband be the husband? And so it's just a great, great tool. And so I saw it the other day in the bookstore, and I thought, you know, I just need to start carrying that. So great tool. Here's one on boundaries. A lot of times some people can't say no. They don't know how to take control of their life, and they keep getting hurt over and over, the same thing over. And many times it's just need to draw the line and learn to say no and set boundaries in your life and get beyond that hurt or that pain that you keep incurring. We have interesting title, Have a New Teenager by Friday. Anybody interested? We also have one, if you're not interested in this, we have one out there, Have a New Husband by Friday. Let me warn you, ladies. You think that's cool, don't you? Because, you know, there's something in us that, oh, if he would just do this, do that, whatever. The homework assignment is really mom in your lap, dad, wife. It's really in your lap. Maybe our approach could improve, and we would have a new husband by Friday. We could have a new husband by Wednesday, you know. But it's called working together. Amen. Marriage is 100-100, right? Then we have on Trading Places, same author as the parenting audio book. And Trading Places, you can't see real here, but there's part of a lady's shoe and a man's shoe. We do not promote cross-dressing. God said that man was to marry a woman, and that's still his plan. Amen? But actually what that's discussing here is women, if we could figure out how men think, wow. And men, God help you if you could ever figure out how we think. Because about the time you figure it out, we're going to change. So welcome to marriage. It's a journey for life. And we need all the help we can get. And so that's why we carry the tools. And so this will help you with your tool belt in life to just learn some more that will help you and help others. So with that said, my husband, who is the oldest regional director for RMAI, he's not the oldest in age, but he's a good man, even if he did turn the switch on for when there was light. Amen. So he had to do it. So God bless you all.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thanks.
Praise God. Well, thank you, Elaine. Hallelujah. Am I turned on? Can you all hear me now? Could you hear me a while ago? Can you hear me now? Whoa, I heard me. Somebody turned on the switch. Well, I'll say one thing. I may be the oldest regional director, but I know somebody who's only 1 year younger than me. It just gets better, Pastor. It gets better and better and better. It is a real joy, and always with great anticipation we come to By His Word Church, because we have made some great friends here. We know you by face in many cases, know you by spirit. But kind of such an honor to stand before God's people. It is certainly not something we take lightly, as I think Elaine already said. Big responsibility, big honor. It's just good to know you. Just good to be with you. Praise and worship was awesome this morning. And just ushered in the presence of God. And you say, oh, was God here? You better believe he was. And he still is, because you're still here and he lives in you. And so I'm just expecting some great things this morning. And if you have a need in your life, I'm here to tell you, God intends to meet that need this morning. If He has His way, 100%, you'll go away from here having your need met, regardless of whatever that need may be, because God is in the need-meeting business. And, you know, how many parents do we have here? How many, you know, want to meet the needs in your children's life? Now, admittedly, you know, we are limited. Sometimes we can only do certain things for our kids, but we serve a Heavenly Father that is not limited. And so my desire is to help us grasp the reality that God has already provided for all of our needs. And all we have to do is learn how do we step into that? How do we appropriate that? How do we take what God has done and made available and make it ours? And that's what studying the Word of God is all about. That's what getting into the Word and finding out those things. This morning I want to share a message, and like Elaine said, I was inspired by something I read in Brother Renner's book, Sparkling Gems, and I was just reading a devotional one day, and he made one little statement that just really went off in me. And so we're going to share some things the Lord gave me along those lines. But first of all, I need some help. And I know some of you think I already knew that I needed some help, but I need some help. Who'd like to help me preach this morning? Oh, you're not going to have to say nothing, brother. Just, anybody want to help? Please help me. I'm stranded here. There's a hand way over there. I need a couple ushers. Could a couple ushers come up here? Excuse me. I got to get something underneath the seat here. Can you get that? Okay. Let's see here. What have I got here? Oh, look at that. Here you are. Let's see here. There's one for you. And there's a double portion for you. Okay? Now, what I'd like for you guys to do is just kind of go out and pass those out. You got three of them. Just stick them out along among the congregation. And if you'd like to have a balloon, raise your hand. Here, Pastor. Hold that. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to share with you after a while what those balloons are all about. Just hold on to them. I don't want to hear any squeaking, you know, or don't untie the knots and go, and all that stuff that you do with balloons. Just, you know, there'll come a time where those balloons will mean something to you, and we're going to use those in our illustration. Thank you, brothers. I appreciate that very much. Glory to God. Just can't make it without guys like you. That's all there is to it. This morning I want to talk to you about a very simple message. Probably most, if not everything, I'm going to say this morning you've already heard. You really do have one of the most excellent teachers in the Word of God that I know as your pastor. And so it would be real futile for me to try to outdo him. It would be a waste of time, which, first of all, that's not what God is all about anyway. He's just got a word for the day. And so I want to share with you something that has really blessed me, and I believe the Lord wants to bless you with it. We're going to talk about the significance of the Word of God. Why is God's Word so important in your life? Shared with Pastor Jan, one of the reasons that I think the Lord has shared this with me is, you know, Elaine and I graduated in 1978 from Rhema, and there seemed to be a mass hunger for the Word of God. Everywhere you went, people were hungry for the Word of God. We started our church in Prague, Oklahoma, in 1978, in December of 1978, a town of 2,500 people. In 1 year's time, we had 100 people coming to church. And so there was a hunger. The people were searching for things, searching the Word of God. They wanted to know more about God. And I really wish I didn't have to say this, but there does not seem to be that massive hunger for the Word of God that we once saw. And so I think sometimes maybe we have let it slip. Why is the Word of God really important? What's the Word of God all about? Why do we need? Why did God give us the Word of God? Well, what's the Bible all about? Is it just, you know, the old proverbial, you know, thing you lay on the coffee table and dust off occasionally? I mean, you've heard that and heard that and heard that. But what's the deal with the Word of God? Why do we need it? What's its purpose? And so I want to share some things this morning that I believe will bless you. If you'd like to turn with me the 119th Psalm, and we're going to start reading at the 103rd verse. We're going to read about three or four verses here. and just make some observations. David wrote this, and David was a lover of God. He loved God's Word. The entire 119th Psalm deals with the different aspects of the Word of God and the law and so forth and so on. And David says in the 103rd verse of the 119th Psalm, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, let me stop there a moment. And I kind of feel like what David is trying to do here is give us some understanding about how important the Word of God is to him. Probably in David's day, honey was the sweetest thing that was known to mankind. It was as sweet as it could be. And so David was looking for something to compare the Word of God with that would get the message across. And so he said, "The Word of God is sweeter to my taste than honey is." And so let's stop and think. Now, he's saying there's nothing sweeter in the whole world to me and to my taste than the Word of God. He says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." In other words, it's from the precepts or the Word of God, David declares, "I get understanding from the Word of God." Have you ever been tempted to look at a situation and say, "I just don't understand"? Obviously, we all find ourselves in areas of things we don't understand. Nobody here understands everything, and we don't have to. I mean, I don't understand exactly how to build an atomic bomb, you understand? And I'm not really interested in learning. Okay? And so there's a lot of things we don't know and don't understand, but there are some things that are necessary for us to understand if we're going to be what God wants us to be. And so David makes it real clear. If you lack understanding concerning God and His ways and His kingdom, those are to be found in the Word of God. "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore," or "because I got understanding, I hate every false way." I thought that's very interesting. David said, it's from the Word of God that I get understanding and can identify the false way. Now, friend, if there's a false way, there's a right way. If there's a right way, there's a false way. And we all know the false way. We all started out in the false way and have been delivered from the false way so we could walk into the right way or the true way. And so David said, "I get understanding, and because of my understanding, I can identify the false way." And then he has to decide, am I going to go the false way or am I going to go the right way? He says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." The Word of God, David says, is a lamp unto my feet. Now, he's talking about the false way, the right way, God's way. And he said, it's the Word of God that illuminates my path. It's the Word of God that shows me the right way to go. Many times we find ourselves at what we would call a crossroads or a fork in the road. And we can go one way or we can go the other way. And we need some understanding, or we need to comprehend some things here so we can choose to go the right way. He says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet. In other words, it shows my feet which way to go. Praise God. Apparently, if we don't know which way to go, we need to get the map. We need to get the instructions, because it revealed right here that the way to go is revealed in the Bible. So we're finding out the significance of the Word of God to the point that if you really want to know the will of God, if you want to know the way of God for your life, it is to be found in the Word of God. It is a light unto my path. I was thinking about that not too long ago. Well, what's he saying? First of all, he said the Word illuminates my path, shows me, helps me identify the path that I am to be on. And then once I find the path, once I get on the right path, that Word of God illuminates that path so that as I travel down life's pathway, the enemy may throw things in my way. The enemy may try to get me off track. He may try to cause me to stumble, but I will not be deceived. I will not be tripped up, because the Word of God will show me before the fact what's going on here, and I can sidestep the attacks of the enemy. And so David realizes that this is vitally important in our life. So from the Word, we get understanding. Say understanding. But then Solomon, who was David's son, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Now, Pastor Jan and I had the discussion, even last night we were talking about this, and he brought it up. He didn't know what I was ministering this morning at that time. And he brought this passage up. And we begin to discuss that, and he said some very, very interesting things. But let me just show you what I think is so simple in this. He says, wisdom's the principal thing. First of all, get wisdom. Get wisdom. And then, but wisdom alone is not sufficient. In all you're getting, get understanding. Notice he says, wisdom's the important thing. Get it. But also get, it doesn't mean God's going to cram it down your throat. You've got to go seeking and searching for understanding. Where are you going to find that? You're going to find that in the Word of God. David just told us in the Word of God. So what's he talking about? Well, wisdom reveals the plan of God to us. I don't know. I want to make it as simple as I can. But it reveals the plan of God. But understanding shows us how to implement the plan. Shows us how, this yesterday, over here at the hotel, y'all know there was a air show in town. I know you know there's an air show in town. I saw on Facebook you was there. You know, and I was at the hotel, and I brought me a chair out in the parking lot. And I'm up there. Well, I love flying. I love airplanes. But, you know, somewhere along the line, somebody told me there was such a thing as an airplane. That would be like wisdom. I got some facts showed up. There's an airplane. But I wouldn't know squat about how to build an airplane. I didn't know how to fly an airplane. I didn't know there was an airplane. If I'm going to fly one, I'm going to build one, I need to get some understanding of how this thing works. Well, you see, that's what happens. You come to church and somebody will read a scripture to you. Wow! The Bible says with His stripes I'm healed. I wonder how that can become a reality in my life. Huh? You see, it's another step you're going to have to find out. How can you take what God has revealed to you as His will and plan and make it a part of your life? Where are you going to find that? In the Word of God. God's going to tell you how to walk by faith, how to learn to receive from Him. All those things are revealed in the Word of God. So get the wisdom, but don't stop there. Get understanding. And David said the place for you to get the understanding is in the Word of God. So maybe you've heard some awesome things. There's some awesome things that God said in the Bible about you, who you are and what He wants to do for you and what He has done for you. And maybe you're kind of wondering, how can I cause that stuff to... I mean, I'd like to prosper like brother, what's his name? How did he do that? Obviously, it can be done. Well, the Bible will tell you how to prosper. The Bible will tell you how to be all that God wants you to be. But you know, it laying on your desk will not speak to you. It's when you open it. When you expose yourself to it. There's another reason there to come to church. Someone just may say something from the Bible. You never can tell. I mean, they may slip one in there on you, you know? Well, that's where you get this understanding. You get it from the Word of God. What does it mean to understand? Well, the only thing I know is, according to the dictionary, it means to comprehend or to know something. Comprehend or to know something, like to know God. Do you know God? Oh, yeah. Well, I used to, people tell me, I believe in God. I said, well, what's His name? Huh? What's his name? Because, I mean, Paul ran into a place where they had many gods. And they probably all had a name. We sung it this morning, Jesus is the name. It's the only one. Amen? So, if we want to comprehend God or understand God, we're going to learn that from His Word. See, we're finding out, why did God give us His Word? He'd like you to know Him. And He'd like to get to know you. He'd like to have a relationship with you. You would not know Jesus came without the Word of God. You would not know you could be saved without the Word of God. You would not know about the Holy Spirit without the Word. You wouldn't know about healing. You wouldn't know anything you think you know about God if it had not come from the Word of God. And so I hope you're not satisfied, so to speak, with what you know and realize there's more to know. There's more to understand. There's more to comprehend that comes from the Word of God. Now, you know, Apostle Paul had some challenges on the road of life. Several places he listed all these things that he faced and so forth and so on. But one time, you know, Apostle Paul, I think he probably was as human as any of us. He dealt with the same stuff we dealt with, and I kind of sense maybe there was a day he may have been a little discouraged. And he talked about it, you know, I think it's in 1 Corinthians where he talked about, you know, that there was, you know, because I had so much revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. And someone said, well, God gave him the thorn in the flesh. Why would God give him the thorn in the flesh if God gave him the revelation? God is not mixed up. Hello? And so he goes on. So it's a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to try to keep me from getting more revelation. I don't blame the devil. I've done the same thing. Okay, because Paul was finding out who he was in Christ, and he was telling everybody about it. He was spreading it around. You stop and think for a moment. How many's thankful that we still have Apostle Paul's letters he wrote to the church? You know, when he wrote those letters to the church, do you really think he thought about by his word? He probably didn't think his letters would exist beyond the church he wrote them to. He was anointed. He wrote as God spoke to his heart concerning those people in that church. They all had problems. Every church has had problems down through the years. And Paul is writing concerning them. Well, here he said, God, three times I howled and cried and begged, God, do something about this thorn. And three times God said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Now, some religious people said, see, God told him no. Let me tell you what God told him. Paul, I've already done something about your problem. I've already accomplished what needs to be accomplished, what you need to realize. Matter of fact, Paul, remember what you told the church over there when you're always triumphant? And this church, he gives you the... Remember, why don't you try practicing what you preach, Paul? I wouldn't be a bit surprised. And of course, we know that Paul conquered that because when he was dying, he said, I have finished my course. So whatever he was supposed to accomplish in this life, thorn or no thorn, he got it done. Well, where do you get that knowledge? He got it from the Word of God. God revealed it to him through His Word. And so Paul overcame. Now I'm going to read something that Jesus said here in John chapter 8. And you know, He's not talking to you, I trust. But I want to make a point from what I'm going to read. John chapter 8, verse 43. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, the thing I want to point here is Jesus made a statement, and he said there is no truth in the devil. I know that's not a revelation to you, but sometimes we need to think about that. There is no truth. It is impossible for Satan to tell the absolute truth. I remember someone saying one time, you know, some people were saying, well, the devil said this and the devil said that. Well, good. I'm glad you identified who's talking. And since we know he can't tell the truth, that's good news for you. Whatever he's saying is not the truth. Matter of fact, if he says go north, you probably want to go south. Just the opposite. So there's no truth in Satan. But Jesus said in John 17:17, in his great high priestly prayer, he said, sanctify them, Father, through your truth, thy word is truth. I know that's very basic, but the word is the truth. We live in a day that the truth is scarce. I mean, you can watch TV and hear this and turn a channel and hear that and turn a channel and hear that and everybody's saying something else. And you say, what am I supposed to believe? Well, you're supposed to believe what God said. Because Jesus said that God's Word is the source of absolute truth. You know, let me say this. I appreciate people who sit in the back. But, well, you know, you're saving the best seats for the latecomers. I understand that. And I appreciate your act of love and compassion. But in case you can't see what I got here, I have a ruler. It's 1 foot long. It's 12 inches long. And we pretty much take that stuff for granted, but it is a standard. I mean, a foot is a foot is a foot. It's 12 inches. And so we need to realize that this building, if somebody didn't have a standard when they built this building, it's hard telling what it would look like. I mean, the wall may be 35 feet high over there and 22 feet over here, but the standard was wrong. And so we appreciate standards. We recognize that and are glad that we have standards because it helps us in our daily walk. Well, I want to tell you, God has given you a standard. He's given you something to measure everything else by. And it's called the Word of God. If what someone tells you does not line up with the Word of God, then you need to take what God said instead of what someone told you. Because, you see, Jesus said, "Thy Word is absolute truth." We have no reason to not have access to the truth. The truth will stand for all eternity. The truth will. Not something somebody said was the truth, but God's Word will stand forever. The Bible said it's forever settled in heaven. It'll never be altered. You know what? You know why the Bible, God has never changed the Word of God? You know, the Bible says He changes not. You know why He doesn't change? He got it right. I know that's deep. I know that's really hard to get a hold of, but He got it right. And so since He got it right, if He changed, He wouldn't be right anymore. Well, guess what? If I don't agree with God, and since God's right, let's see a little mathematics. I'm wrong. And so if I want to be right, I got to change. I'm the one that gets to change. Now, if God changed, we're all in trouble. But He's not going to change because He's right. His Word is the standard. That is the way it is. And if I understand it right, there's going to come a day we're going to all stand before God in what is called judgment. We're going to be judged by the Word of God. God said, "I said this, and you said what? What were you doing? I said this, and you knew what I said." And so we need to understand the significance of the Word of God is it's the absolute truth. If you want to know the truth, not a truth, the truth, the bottom line of everything. You know, if you get a financial statement from your business, I've watched people. First thing they do is go to the back page, bottom line. Bottom line, we made money. Woo! Oh, well, boy, we're in trouble. Then they'll start looking through the different categories. Bottom line of your walk with God, the Word of God, is the absolute truth. And it will never change. What God said is what He meant. Not what you think He said, not what you said He said. But what He said is what He's going to stand by and what He's going to do. That's why we need teachers to help us understand what's God saying here. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, if, everybody say if. Say, that is the biggest little word in the Bible. Okay, only two little letters, but if makes a big difference. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If. So anytime there's an if means you can if you want to, and you don't have to. So if you abide in my word, what does it mean to abide? I mean, you know, I imagine we got some visitors here. I mean, you're visiting in the area. on vacation or something? Yeah, I knew we had some back here. Anybody? Okay, the rest of you folks have some place you abide here close. That's where you go when there's no place else to go. Hello? After you've gone to the air show, you go where you abide. It's called home. Okay? Well, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and then you'll know the truth, and the truth you know will make you free. See, there's a purpose for the truth, not just so you can spell, I know this, I know that. What, does it set you free? Have you put it into action in your life? Have you allowed it to order your steps and guide you and lead you? It will always lead you to freedom. It will always set you free. The truth will always set you free. The truth will set you apart from the things in the world. I know our flesh gets excited about that, but it always sets us apart. What we know always makes the difference. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, if you just read that scripture, you'll think, huh, so God said every man ought to be a liar. Wow, I qualify. Huh? That's not what he's saying. He's saying, hey, if somebody says one thing and God says something else, only one person's telling the truth, who's it going to be? It's supposed to be God in your life. So let God be true. That means you get to let Him be true. You get to choose what you're going to believe. You get to choose what you're going to embrace. You get to choose. Let God be true and every man a liar. The truth you know will enable you to walk in the victory. Be an overcomer. Be triumphant. John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said this. Now, you know, we all love Jesus. Jesus, I mean, He did the hard part. You understand? He paid the big price. And what little bit God asks of us is nothing compared to what He did. And so, you know, His word is so important they print it in red. Okay, so this is Jesus. This is the Son of God talking. Now, I'm not saying you should, but some people say, well, I like what Jesus said better than what Paul said. Well, they all are important. But Jesus said this, so He probably knows what He's talking about. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they're life. How many know Jesus talking about His Word? He's telling us something about His Word now. These are not just things I said. He said they're spirit and they're life. And so God's word is different than anybody else's word. A lot of people have said a lot of good things in this world. A lot of people said a lot of important things. But nobody has said anything like what God said. His words are different. The word is alive with the Spirit of God. The word of God doesn't just give life, they are life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is where Brother Renner began to speak on that particular devotion I was reading, and this is what got me started on this message that I'm preaching this morning. It says, all Scripture, everybody say all Scripture. He didn't say all Scripture except. All Scripture come from the same place. It doesn't matter if it's begots or King so-and-so, or what doesn't make any difference, they all came from the same place. All Scripture is given, it's a gift, given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Anybody ever been involved in a business that was not profitable? You don't have to raise your hands. If you had an opportunity to invest in something, said, you know, I got this hot thing going, it's just so great, you know, oh, we're not making any money, we're losing money, but you will when you get involved in this. We've got enough sense to know that if it's not profitable, we don't want to be involved in it. Well, the Bible says the Word of God is profitable. What does it mean to be profitable? It means you're better off because of it. It means it adds things to you that you did not have before it came. You're profiting by it. And it tells us how we are to profit. Profitable for doctrine. What in the world is that religious word? Doctrine? Pastor, do you have doctrine in this church? You do? Huh. I wonder where you got it from. Most churches I go to, and I'm sure they're all that way, they have somewhere along the way you'll find a list of things. It's called their doctrine or their tenet of faith. This is what we believe. And they'll say, we believe in the new birth, and they'll give you a scripture. We believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and they'll give you a scripture. We believe in the infallible Word of God, they'll give you a scripture. Everything's got a scripture. Why? Because they got what they believe from the Word of God. And so it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine's what you believe. You got one whether you like it or not. Okay? It's what you believe. And where do you get it from? You're profiting because you got it from the Word of God. Now, everybody believes something. But not everybody got what they believe from the Word of God. And so sometimes the things we believe is not profitable. But if you want to be profitable, you get what you believe from the Word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That's kind of a strange word, but if I understand it right, and Pastor Jan may help me with this, but if I understand it right, all that really means is the Word of God will confirm itself over and over and over and over and over. God said it, you believe it, He'll do it. And the Word of God is profitable in that way. It's for correction. I thought we'd probably have a Holy Ghost meeting after that. Amen. Correction. Boy, don't we love that word. It's profitable for correction. How many knows it's always right to be on the right path? How many knows it's always right to be on the right road when you're going someplace? We were traveling back to Ohio years and years and years ago from Oklahoma to Ohio, and you go through St. Louis, and just on the other side of St. Louis, you know, Interstate 70 goes east and Interstate 55 keeps going right on north. And we had a praise and worship. I don't know if we had, probably it was a tape or maybe we had an 8-track. It's been a while back. But anyway, we were worshiping God, and boy, we were having a good time. And I'm just driving, and all of a sudden, I see this sign that says, Chicago, 23 miles. What? I got off path. I got off my route. I was lost. And you'll never end up where you want to be unless you're on the right road, friend. And if you're on the wrong friend, on the wrong road, you're glad when somebody points it out and helps you get on the right road. Well, that's what the Word of God will do. We can get on the wrong road. We've all done it. Some of you may be on the wrong road today. I don't know, but I got good news for you. There is correction available. God wants you to be on the right road. Why? Because He wants you to arrive. He's looking forward to seeing you at your next blessing. He's looking forward for you to be... You know, someone pointed out that, you know, God has already blessed you and He's placed those blessings along the path you're supposed to be traveling. So if you're on the wrong road, guess what? The blessings are there, but not where you are. You're not there. You can think about that. For correction... For instruction in righteousness. I didn't know anything about righteousness until someone pointed out in the Word of God what it really meant. You get instruction from the Word of God that the man of God may be perfect. Well, leave me out, man. I got a long way to go. That word perfect means mature. Mature. I'm glad it doesn't mean perfect. Because we would all be in big trouble, friend. You say, well, you don't know me. I don't have to know you. I know the human race. There aren't any perfect people. There was one, and they killed him. And he rose again. Okay? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. What does it mean to be thoroughly furnished? If you bought a house, and someone said it's thoroughly furnished, what would your concept of that be? Well, what would you expect when you got into that house? You know, you wouldn't expect to be lacking anything, would you? I mean, you wouldn't expect to go into the kitchen and the refrigerator be empty, would you? It wouldn't be thoroughly furnished then, would it? It may be kind of furnished, but not thoroughly. God said thoroughly furnished. He didn't say, you know what, folks, the Word of God's going to nail me to do some stuff for you. No, he said, I'm here to tell you, I'm going to provide everything you have need of. Where do you get that from? The Word of God. We're talking about the significance of the Word of God in your life. Why is the Word of God so important? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, as I begin to read the Scripture, that word inspiration has always inspired me. It's always been an interesting word. It's given by inspiration. Of course, you know, when we went to Rhema, you know, I learned, and I know you've heard this, that word inspire in the Greek, and I don't even want to talk too much about the Greek. I want to share a little bit that I read after Rick Renner, you understand. Because I do not study the Greek. Matter of fact, your pastor and I get in some discussions, and in about 5 minutes, I'm just listening. Excellent. Excellent, okay. But the Greek word there means God breathed. God breathed His Word. Well, as I was doing my devotions that day, Brother Renner was addressing that very issue. And it was really good, and then I got down to one line. And here's some things he shared about the Greek word that has been translated God breathed or inspired. He says the root word for that is the word pneu. It's spelled P-N-E-U. It gives the idea of dynamic movement of air. Now remember, we're learning how God gave His Word. How did He go about giving it? He didn't just say, write this, write that. He didn't just do that. It can mean to blow through an instrument to produce a distinct musical sound. Some places it's been translated to breathe or emit a fragrance. It can be used to denote a projection of emotions, such as anger, courage, or goodwill. And then you take the word new and add M-A and make it pneuma, it expands the meaning to include life, life force, energy, dynamism, and power. So beginning to see that God didn't just say something. They didn't just hear God say something. There was more to it than just hearing some voice. That God was actually activating His Word. He was actually energizing His Word. You will find that the Word of God is like no other word anywhere. The Word of God is unique. It is not just another book. Praise God, we have the written Word of God that we can read. But I'm here to tell you, it's more than ink and paper. God, when He gave His Word, He gave a part of Himself. He projected His emotions, His courage, His goodwill, His love, His life, His energy, His power into His Word. The word theonoustos, if I said that wrong, Pastor, forgive me. That's the Greek word that means God breathed. And it says, when God inspired the writers of the Word, He literally breathed a part of Himself into them and the words they recorded. I don't know about you, that puts some real significance. And when I realize that this is God, not just what God said, this is God Himself in my presence. He abides in His Word. Have you ever been in a situation, if I could just bring God on the scene. If I could just get God to show up here. I just told you how to get Him to show up there. Because He lives in His Word. You know, where's those balloons? Where did they go? You got a balloon? Hold up a balloon. I'm going to see them. There's a balloon. There's a balloon. There's a balloon. Okay. Y'all see the balloons? Now, let me tell you why I did that. This morning, you can put them down now. Thank you. This morning in my motel room, I blew up those balloons. And if you don't believe that, just take it to the laboratory. And you can have it tested and you can find my DNA is in those balloons. Okay? Now, did y'all see where those balloons were? How many knows I'm not back there? I'm not over there. I'm not back there, and I'm not over there. How many, you can tell I'm here, right? But yet, a part of me, a bit of me, is right back there. Right there. I'm right there. Actually, for what it's worth, you could take me home with you. And Elaine would still have me. Now, the only reason I did that is to illustrate that's what God did to His Word. He blew and breathed a part of His very nature and essence into His Word. That's why when you speak the Word, mountains have to move. That's why when you speak the Word, something's got to change. Not because you're cool. Not because you're some hotshot, but because God resides in His Word. You know, when you speak the Word to the devil, the devil don't just hear sounds, he sees God. He senses the presence of God. You want God on the scene? Start speaking the Word of God. Start saying the Word of God, because God lives in His Word. And if you don't get nothing else today, I want you to understand this. God lives in His Word. That's why you need the Word. That's why you need to embrace the Word. You need to be hearing the Word over and over and over and over and over and over. People say, I want more of God. I just like that. I just told you how to get more of God. A lot of times people say, I want more of God. What they want is another tickle. Or a bigger goosebump. Or being slain in the Spirit longer. I like tickles. I like goosebumps. I don't mind laying in the floor until God gets through with me. But I'm here to tell you, the one thing God will guarantee you is that if you will embrace His Word, He will be there. He hasn't promised to tickle you. He hasn't promised to knock you in the floor. It may happen. He hasn't promised one single goosebump. But He's promised, I live in my Word. I want to tell you something. God lives in His Word, and He gave His Word to you. I don't know if you're getting this or not, but I wasn't looking for goosebumps, but I got them. Just the fact of knowing that the Word that I spoke today literally contained the very essence of God and was projected toward you. That's why it's so important for us to receive what's been. It's not just what Pastor Jan says or anybody else says, but that's why if it's not the Word of God, there's no power in it. There's no value in it because God's not in it. And you're not interested in men's opinions anyway. You're only interested in what God, what did God say about it? I had a lady one time, you know, she was distraught because she'd received a real bad report from the doctor. And I haven't received that kind of report. I don't know how I would act. So I'm not putting her down. But she was really, you know, the doctor said. And I guess the doctor did say. And I'm the pastor of the God. Give me something to help her with it. I just said, well, sister, what did God say? Oh, yeah, right. Well, see, she got overwhelmed with a bad report. That may have happened to some of you. It can happen, friend. This report, that report. But always go back to what did God say? Because God's Word will dispel the darkness. God's Word will overwhelm the bad report that comes your way. Why? Because God Himself is there. You know, the more Word you get, the more powerful you are. Jesus said, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and they are life. You know, you get the Word of God. Start reading the Word of God. It's going to have an impact on you. You get a little more God in you and it's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect your outlook. And you go to church on Sunday night. Oh. And you just got more Word. And people are thinking you're stranger than you were before. Why? Because you're actually believing what God said. And you'll show up church on Wednesday night. Oh, can't deal with you now. You're so empowered. You're so infused with the life of God. It doesn't matter. I tell you, it'll launch you and away you go. That's why, friend, you need the Word of God. I've tried to make this fun. I've tried to make it enjoyable, but I have never preached a more serious message in my entire life than what I preached this morning. If you want to walk into victory, it's found in the Word of God. If you want the blessings and promises that you're hearing about and be a part of you, it's found in the Word of God, how to understand and how to embrace that and how to receive that. Friend, you cannot get too much of the Word of God. And you say, well, yeah, you can't. Then you can get too much of God. Because that's God's way. You know, anybody take vitamins? You know, it's not those capsules. It's what's in the capsules. Hello? I mean, you can buy empty capsules if it's the capsules, but go ahead. But no, it's what's in there. It's what's in the Word of God. That's going to mean victory for you, being triumphant for you. Are you hungry for the Word? Do you want more of the Word? Do you want more of God in your life? It's yours for the taking. It's yours for the receiving. All you have to do is partake of it. Start reading the Word of God and start realizing it's not just what God said, it's God Himself that you have sitting before you when you're reading the Word of God. Would you bow your head with me this morning? Lord Jesus, we love You so much. We're so thankful for Your Word. We're so thankful, Father God, that we don't have to guess and we don't have to hope and wish it was this way or that way. You tell us clearly in Your Word how it really is. You have shared the truth with us. You have not kept it to Yourself. You make it available to us. And to the degree we pursue the truth, we embrace the truth, and that truth sets us free. And I thank You for every individual that is here today. Thank You for every single person that is here today that is set under Your Word and received the very essence of You into their heart. And has touched them and ministered to them. I thank You for it, Father. I praise You, Master. Lord, we don't even want to think what it would be like without You in our life. We thank You that You always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And You have given us the victory. And we praise You for that. We are overcomers through the blood of the Lamb and Your Word in our testimony. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. You know, if you have not received Jesus as your Savior, the Word of God says He's the way. He's the truth. I've often wondered, you go to church and preaching and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, what is that? Well, God's in His Word. People preach the Word of God and God's there and it touches people's hearts and they realize I'm lost. You know, you can't get found till you know you're lost. Someone said, I was saved. Someone said, from what? From eternity away from God in hell. Do you know Jesus? Have you received Him as the Word of God says, to be born again, to become a new creation in Christ, to allow the Spirit of God to do a regeneration on the inside of you? Have you done that? Then you're in a good place. But if you haven't, you're still in a good place because you're going to have an opportunity today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you know, God doesn't force people. He doesn't, you know, intimidate people. He just says, here I am. If you want me, come and get me. Well, if you want Him, lift your hand right now. And I'm going to pray for you and you will not be disappointed. Anyone here today, you do not know Jesus. Or maybe you drifted away from Jesus. Maybe you allowed yourself to get kind of what we might call lukewarm. Just not really on fire. We're just kind of, you know, biding your time, pedding along. Lost your zeal, lost your desire for the things of God. God wants to restore that for you today. Why? Not because He's on an ego trip, but for your benefit. So He can, because He wants to bless you more than He's been able to bless you. Anyone lift your hand for that reason at all? I'm just looking over the congregation. I wouldn't want to miss an opportunity. Oh, yeah, I see a couple hands right here. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Anyone else? Open invitation. Jesus said, you know, here I am. I'm yours for the taking. Any other hands? Okay, I'm going to lead everybody in a prayer this morning. I want you all to pray this prayer with me. Even though you've already done this, we're going to do it again. It won't hurt us to. It certainly wouldn't hurt us to declare Jesus as Lord again, would it? It wouldn't hurt us to say, I believe God raised him from the dead again, would it? No. Okay, so Father God, I thank you for Jesus. Jesus died for me, and Jesus died to take my sin away. I thank you, Father, that as I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, he takes charge of my life, and I yield myself to him. I do believe that he died for me, and I do believe that he was raised from the dead to justify me. I thank you, Father, that because I did what your word said, you're confirming your word in my life. And if I wasn't a Christian, or if I was a lukewarm Christian, I've been restored and I've been received into the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jan.
How many received from Bob this morning? Boy, it is our life. We live by every word that comes from God's word. Amen. Let's just come forward. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to receive from you what to put into this offering for Bob and Elaine. And Father, whatever you tell us to put there, that's what we'll put. And we know that in the end, it will have met the needs that they have. And I thank you for this wonderful gift that they are in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Well, when we dismiss the service, what I'd like to do, the ones who have given their heart to the Lord, I will wait here. And when we dismiss the service, please come up and stand here because we have some things that we want to give you that are vitally important for your life. Hallelujah. We want to give you a little direction of what to expect from this point on. Now, Bob, of course, will be speaking again tonight. And I don't know what he's going to be speaking on, but I know it'll be good. And I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Again, I want to remind you, Rick Renner will be here in a couple of weeks. Says he has a special message he wants to give to the church. Kind of like what you said, Bob, about, or was it you, Elaine, about how you believe that the churches, people will go back to churches.
Yes.
And was that you? You know, when we were doing the book of Ephesians and studying it on Wednesday nights, how many of you remember when we went through the book of Ephesians? I see that book totally different now than when I've seen it in the past. But I begin to realize that when God gives revelation of a book or some special insight to it, that he doesn't do it just with one person alone, but he does it with several. I was telling Bob and Elaine, I was so excited over the Word of God being exposed in the book of Ephesians to me and sharing it with you as a body. But did you guys know that I have if you was to go up my office, I have these shelves, you know, with book after book on them. And I kind of, just in the back of my mind, I got to thinking, you know, Bob Yandian wrote a book on called The Local Church. And I'm going to go look for that book. And so I found it. But I never read the book. But I got the book, but I never read it. And I started reading the book, and I went, my gosh, he has this entire revelation right here in this book. And so I was shocked how the Holy Spirit can not only reveal something to someone else, you know, on the other side of the planet, but he can also give the same insight.
Amen.
On the opposite side
That's
of the
truth.
Planet.
Yeah.
And so I was so excited and Of course, I reached out to Bob Yanian, and asked him to come to our RMAI retreat to speak on a local church, but he couldn't because he was going to France. But how many of you would like Bob to come and share on that? That's good stuff. So when he gets back, I'm going to try to get a hold of him and have him come and share on that subject. It's been pretty powerful. Well, if you will, everybody stand up. We're going to dismiss you. And those who raise their hands, please come up to the altar afterwards. So we want to get with you, meet with you, and give you some information because we love you all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful people here this morning. And Father, I believe that they were ordained to be here to hear the message that Bob had brought us. And Father, may we be very, very tender-hearted towards the Word of God for our life. Of course, it's everything that we need to know concerning our walk with you. With that said, you're dismissed. Anyone who would like prayer?